From Friday night football to the county fair. From picnics in the park to hometown parades. From big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Hey, legit batters. We don't really do ads, but if you feel the need to support our dumb show, you can subscribe on Rockfin for all of our shows, plus bonus member shows, or on Patreon for audio versions. Oh my god, this sounds so scripted. This is terrible.
No, read it like that the whole time.
No, I can't.
Yes, do it.
Okay. Or click on the affiliate link in the notes to support awesome companies. I don't know who wrote these notes. Oh, yeah, it's me. If you don't feel like sending bullshit fiat currency to us, just share the show with a friend or give us a rating or review. You know, standard podcast shit.
Actually, that could be said without the radio voice.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll put in a fart noise. But we also accept sweet nothings in the form of DMs or emails. Seriously.
That's actually more appreciated. We don't need your money. We just want loves.
We don't need your money. It'd be cool. But I mean, if you don't want to buy us a beer, that's fine. You can just say, hey, you guys are awesome. Or say, you guys suck. Those are funny too.
No, it's like hanging out. When you go out and hang out with your friends at a show, just say you're at a concert. Would you be more excited that they were there and that you got to spend time with them, or if they bought you a beer? I guess it would depend on your alcohol dependency levels, but
yeah,
we don't have that. We are just excited to be hanging out with you guys. That's it.
Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show and support however you fucking want. Thank you.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know shit about fuck.
I love Leia.
I like sucking.
Ow!
Legit Bat Podcast.
Boner.
Brayden. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Fuck off.
There's that stag talk you talked about.
Yeah, boom. Hey.
Hey.
Welcome to Legit Bat. I was watching Dave's face while our intro video played. It's fucking hilarious.
I love that video. It's so great.
I'm Joe. Jen's with me. Our guest co-host tonight is Mr. Kyle from Big Dumb Podcast. What's up, buddy?
Sorry, I always mute myself during hello. Welcome. Good to be here. As always, I will co-host your show, and that goes to everybody.
Everybody, I'll
co-host anything. You got a birthday party, you got a holiday or a work party, I will co-host. Just hit me up.
You can be your clown any day of the week. Where's my sounds? Oh, I had sounds for that. Anyway, whatever. But our guest of the day, Mr. Dave Zed from Generation Zed. What's up, buddy? Good to see you, my Canadian friend.
How's it going, man? Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing good myself.
Dude, I'm just glad to be able to schedule you on. You're such a busy motherfucker putting out so much shit. I'm on his Patreon, and he puts out so much content, I feel like I'm slacking. Because I'm like, yeah, I put out an extra show once a week that's like 20 minutes long, and he's putting out three-hour-long deep dives into this shit.
It's like, amazing, though. That's like my go-to show, though. I listen to certain shows every week, and I listen to yours as well. But I have to have other shows in between, but they only do a show a week, so it's easy. But then you can fill up the rest of your week with your show. It's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been sort of a blessing and a curse. I've actually had a couple people leave the Patreon just because they say we respect your work immensely. We feel like we can't keep up with it. And so what I'll be doing in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I don't want to say anything just yet, but is really reorganizing everything so that whenever, say, there's certain people that like just the esoteric stuff, whenever that comes out, you know, they can know, all right, this is what I can look at and all of that, so they don't feel like overwhelmed. But regardless, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course, dude. A lot of what you talk about is so far over my head, but I think I've said that last time you were on the show, but I still have to listen to it because I'm like, I gotta challenge myself and listen to this stuff because it's so, you get into the craziest of the crazy shit. So what have you been looking into lately as far as the craziest of crazy? Because I know you just had Elizondo on. I saw that. I'm gonna listen to that one. That's a fucking amazing get, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, we got, I can't say yet, but we have some more, there's a second part of that coming out too, but we also have some more big time guests coming on. But what you can call it everything from free, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracies to esotericism to astrotheology to occultism to all the way to electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, quantum physics. It literally the, initially I didn't plan to do it in this regard. I'll be honest with you. It was just that I didn't necessarily see a show that was, I think I said this last time I was on, that really encompassed everything with respects to, you know, politics and news and sort of giving everyone a slice of that metaphorical pie. And so I didn't plan for it to go this way, but knock on wood, I'm extremely grateful for those like yourselves who support and all that and have come along like Micah, like Ani, like people that have said, hey, Dave, maybe I can, you know, contribute something that you don't have. And that's the whole point, right? To be able to work together to broaden more perspectives. Like we have a new episode we'll be putting out after I finish with you guys here on Star Forts. I don't know jack all about Star Forts, but there was someone that does. Right. And okay. So that's how I try and do it. I don't claim to it. I'm of the humble perspective. If anyone on this planet says they know everything, let alone everything about one topic, they're lying. So at that point, I mean, why try to be a master or try to be a professor, quote unquote, of everything when you can focus on a couple things and then bring others in? And that just reciprocates. Right. It's just it's like cymatics. It just ripples and helps other people. And you guys may have ideas that I don't. That's the whole point. It's like I remember again, Steve Jobs, think of him what you will, in an interview right before he died, he goes, "We have the best arguments at Apple." And I was like, and I'm not trying to, you know, epitomize Apple or anything like this, but and the interviewer goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "The point I'm trying to make is the best ideas have to win. If the janitor at Apple has a better idea for a product than the vice president of the company, we're going to go with the janitor's idea." Because it, or the custodian, it doesn't matter what role they play. The best idea, regardless of the mind that it comes from, has to come out on top, or at least be the furthering, the discussion holder or discussion progressor. So that's essentially what I'm trying to do is all. And then I just try and learn as I go. So when I bring people on and I sit back, a lot of people will see like I'm writing a lot just because I don't know half the stuff that these amazing contributors bring on.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what we're all trying to do here is get all these different perspectives in. People have their own niche things they're into, like Matt is in the chat. What's up, buddy? I wouldn't say an expert. He's very knowledgeable, though, about Star Forts and other things, world's fairs and weird history like that. Like he digs into that shit and knows what he's talking about. That's why I want to have people like that on, because I don't know anything about that, Matt, either.
From which podcast, may I ask?
The Great Deception.
He's the guy I just had on.
Oh, no shit. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Like 3 hours ago. Yeah.
Did you not enjoy the fuck out of that, though?
Crazy. What I love about Matt, though, and this is what I'm trying to say, is that he allows for ideas to be explored. He doesn't sit back with his presentation and go, "No, guys, I have the answer," or "I have, you know, there's only three or four possibilities because this and this, and I know what it is." Matt lets you sit there. He lets you think about it. He lets you go, like, literally. I respect it immensely, Matt. If you're still watching, brother, I love the fact that you allow people to interrupt you in your presentation, because he's got a huge power, beautiful PowerPoint presentation. And but he's got the same mentality, at least that's my view, that he sees, okay, if there's something that I don't get, maybe, you know, Jen will get it, maybe Joe, maybe Dave, right? That same concept. So
yeah. It's fucking amazing. We did a kind of a series of weird shows back last year, I think it was, but it was the World's Fair of Star Forts, and I think we did a Tartaria one with him maybe too. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff nobody knows about, the Star Fort thing especially. Nobody's ever fucking heard of that. When's the last, like, the first time I've heard about the Star Fort thing was about 6 months ago. Never heard about it in my life before then. How is that fucking possible?
Dude, I couldn't agree more. The closest thing, and this speaks to what we were saying earlier about how, again, like, you know, one person claiming to know all or whatever, but I didn't know about the closest thing that one could argue I knew about Star Forts up until like 3-4 hours ago. There's been discussion about, you know, geometric structures over certain alleged ley lines on the planet, but that doesn't, you know, to me, I never took that as much. The one thing I can think of as Star Forts was me going through Google Earth when I was like, like 10, 12 years ago, just kind of going, hold on, looking at the Vatican structure from above, Washington, D.C., this is quite strange, but is there something to it? That was the most I ever got into, quote unquote, star forts. So that's, yeah, exactly. Well,
and with a lot of these topics, you know, like Matt talks about Tartaria, the World's Fair, star forts like that, you almost have to keep an open mind to those things because those things are lost to history. We really don't know definitively. You know, I think we can agree that they've been hidden on purpose or intentionally, or they are at least lost history. We can agree on that. But as far as why they're there, what's the point? You know,
one thing we can agree on, in my opinion, is even generally or conclusively, there's a there with respects to the suppression of it. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know.
Right. That's what a lot of people in our community agree on with these topics, with most topics, is that something's being hidden, something we're being lied to about something. But after that, it kind of can go any direction, right? With it, of course.
Right. This is, and I'll be honest with you, I sympathize with people who say that. And I sympathize with people who say things like, well, I have to speculate because they're lying so much. Well, sure. Regardless if one believes him or not, Colonel Philip J. Corso said in his book, The Day After Roswell, when you have one lie to cover what really happened, you then need another lie to cover that lie. And it just keeps going. It's like he gave an example of, you know, say, for example, you have a shack, right, of secrets in the backyard of your house, and you have a bunch of friends over at a party for a party. And then one person just accidentally wanders into the shack. They find one thing and you go, OK, you know what? I'm going to tell the world about this one thing so that they don't ask about what's in the rest of the shack. And while they're so mesmerized over the one thing I introduced, I'm going to move that shack to another hidden location. And then just if someone finds it there, just repeat the same thing. Oh, well, look at this. Okay, while everyone's looking, move it again. And when you have to, that can be a beautiful thing. That's what one could call dual use, either to ameliorate and, you know, be peaceful or to cause harm. But sadly, the systems we've been under seem to have been doing that for the negative, right? To suppress secrets for whether ego, legacy, control, you know, power structures, you name it. So, yeah. I mean,
I love that example. I think I've actually heard you talk about that example, and that's exactly what the fuck happens, because they have this little set of things they're willing to give up or put in the mainstream or whatever, and they have a section for that, and that's a very small section of what they actually know, and then they leak out one thing to kind of distract. Like, that's all we've seen in the last forever, is one distraction after another, and it's one little breadcrumb to like throw people into a frenzy about Roe v. Wade or whatever the fuck's going on. Meanwhile, the 99% of whatever else is going on, we don't fucking know, and they're just moving that shed to the next location and then throwing out another crumb.
And they use those words like leak, though. They use leak. We've leaked it, and
yes,
We're so lucky to be getting this information on mainstream
Thank
news.
Thank you, Daddy
My
Government.
Gosh, I can't believe it. And people just eat it up.
Well, if I could give a perfect example of this, by the way, it'll be a two-pronged example, but I think it's a pretty good one. So there was someone, he's passed away now, unfortunately, by the name of Don Phillips, former, I believe, NSA, NRO, CIA, USAF, Lockheed Martin, Skunk Works Division, private, like this guy was... You couldn't, you know, top of the top within government, all that stuff. We have him on video thanks to, and I know, again, nowadays, think of him as you will, but Stephen Greer, 20 years back, roughly, I have to give him credit for the 2001 National Press Club. And he got Don Phillips on about a 1 hour testimony video talking about how, you know, he goes, we have, you know, handheld devices, but all the way back in the early to mid 80s that can scan the body, treat the body, cure the body of cancer immediately or within minutes. And, you know, using the mind to control alien craft and things like this, and to fire weapons using the mind and stuff. Here's the thing. First and foremost, to play devil's advocate, this gentleman was trusted his entire life with top secret information, sensitive information, nuclear information, having to do with the safety of America, let's say. All of a sudden, he starts coming out talking about aliens and he's cuckoo. It wasn't that he was framed as cuckoo. He was just dismissed and ignored. So one thing I've noticed is that when they cannot deny something, they just ignore it. It's the same thing. They just dismiss it. Like honestly, like adrenochrome, they just dismiss it. because there are patents on it. There is medical documentation on the adrenal glands being excreted and scientific potency, or excuse me, more potency from a scientific perspective occurring in younger males and females, right? I just want to watch my words here respectfully, but it's the same idea. They just dismiss it. There's no, and then the second part of that example is, let's say, okay, say I own a small publication, and then say, for example, Kyle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kyle runs the New York Times, for example. And say what I do to stir shit up, and this is a mind game, is this could be used for good, but unfortunately, as we know, it really isn't. Say, for example, I can put out in the news, I'll literally make up a story. I'll be like, is it true that, you know, Jen and Joe don't really, you know, live where they say they live, right? Now, if I phrase that headline as a question, in theory, as I understand it from a legal perspective, it becomes difficult for you guys to sue me because I'm simply asking a question and I'm phrasing it as that, right? And then in the article, if I say, well, one source has told an anonymous source, or one aggrieved resident is upset that, you know, Jen and Joe don't, you know, disclose this and that, yada, yada. Who's the source? It's me. Why can't I be my own source? And I know it sounds ridiculous, but this is pulled a lot of times. And so what then happens is, let's say the whole story is made up. What I'll then do is I'll release the story. I'll then go have, say, someone else on the other side of the world, rather, from another small publication, pick up the story, circulate it there. So then Kyle, who say runs the New York Times, if the story circulates enough around the globe, even in small pockets, Kyle, whether the story's true or not, Kyle, as the owner of the New York Times in this example, is forced to cover it, because even though it's not true, everyone's talking about it. So it's going to look like the New York Times is out of the loop if it's not covered. So I just created a bullshit story, making the people question a bullshit thing based on nothing. And now all of a sudden people are thinking and now making theories on something that didn't even happen.
Well, and it goes even deeper than that at sometimes too. Like you mentioned, they can put it in like the Ugandan newspaper, right? Yep. And then they can use that Ugandan newspaper as their source. New York Times will say, according to a newspaper in Uganda, Joe and Jen are full of shit. You know what I mean? Right. And that's their source. A clever thing they do is, like you said, sources familiar with the matter or familiar with one's thinking. That means, like, Dave, I know I've listened to your podcast 1,000 times, like hundreds of hours.
Right.
I'm familiar with your thinking, right? I'm familiar with your thinking. So yep. I can go, Dave is he's leaving Canada because he's tired of yada, yada, yada. And he's quitting the podcast game.
Right.
People will be like, what? You know, how do you know? It's like, well, someone obviously a close friend, they assume, is giving this information.
And the headline just has to go, is Dave leaving the podcast scene? And then you see, and then all it takes is, oh, exactly. Shit, oh, fuck. And then everyone starts talking.
And then that's what it. They'll do is, like, for example, New York Times will write an opinion piece, and then Wikipedia will, like, on a particular topic, like UFOs or whatever, someone will write an opinion piece in the New York Times, and then Wikipedia will use that as a source on the Wikipedia page. So then you look at, you're like, that doesn't sound right. You look it up on Wikipedia, boom, it's right there, even though it's an opinion piece. There's no factual information.
And then Wikipedia will say, the trick they play is, oh, well, we told you it was an opinion piece. Yeah, at the very bottom of the page, so that you clearly, like, you know, no one scrolls to the who. It's like reading the terms and conditions for iTunes. Whoever reads the thing, you can get 10 lawyers on it and they still won't get it. Because it was made to be written that way, arguably, right? It's like the movie Vice, from the same guy who did the Big Short. Mm-hmm. There's a scene from the movie Vice based on Dick Cheney and all that, with the Iraq War and all that. And what you have is one guy in the CIA, I forgot his name, I think Richard Wolff or something. That's an author. Anyways, he stands up in the CIA headquarters in the office, and he got all the cubicles, all the CIA agents there. He goes, who here wants to be an anonymous source? That's it. And who's to say that that's, again, it's under the premise that we should trust these corporations. That's what it comes down to. You're telling me that they're pulling this stuff on us? No, people will talk. People won't talk when you're getting paid $10, $20, $30 million a year like Chris Cuomo was, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, People are not going to, and even if they do, they got, I would imagine many of them, not all, but many have NDAs, you know, they're going to, yeah, it's not worth it for them.
Well, it's just, it's ridiculous because there's all of these things that we talk about. It seems so obvious when you're looking at it all the time. And yep. I know you're pretty modest on your Kraken episodes, the public episodes, because you don't want to scare anybody away, you know, who might be a little more straight edge thinking, but the way that we think, we're in a safe zone right here. We can talk about this stuff, but we see it, as far as I know, as intentional and purposeful and manipulative. And the way that this is being orchestrated around us is anything but by chance. So trying to convince somebody, that's why I like the way you bring it, because you show people things like, look, this doesn't make sense. And then you leave it there. I'm out here going, no, it's on purpose. They fucking hate you. They want you to die. I'm more of an Alex Jones, like, they fucking hate you. They want you to die. And Dave's out here all Canadian, like, no, this is very strange. Don't you think? You know? So he introduces people to this shit.
I appreciate that so much, because it's like, and one of the reasons I do that as well is not to be like vague or anything like that, but I think people really should decide for themselves, and they may have a better interpretation of that story, let's say in the Kraken stuff, than even I do. Like I said, just because I'm behind the mic doesn't make me smarter, more knowledgeable, or anything like that. It's the same thing.
This is how the news should be. I don't mean to cut you off, but this is how the news should be. So just based on what you were just talking about, how the news works, how media, how it all travels, how that information travels and is taken in, they have trained people to do that for years. So the only reason that anyone would give two shits about your example of Joe and Jen are full of shit, they don't live where they say whatever. The only reason people would care is because they're trained to give a shit about that instead of taking care of themselves and living their own lives. People are trained to just follow the news, and that affects their daily life.
Celebrity worship,
gross,
all of
and
it.
Sad. Yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, so, yeah, there's, yeah.
When you don't do that, when you present it in a way like you do, where you get to say, hey, or they get to take it in as a, oh, I can decide for myself how I feel about this, instead of taking it in a way that they're kind of being tricked and deceived into feeling that this is very important to them when it really isn't important in their daily life. That's really great what you're doing. And that's how the news should be.
I can't thank you enough. And if I could say very quickly, the thing is that, like, I want to play for a second devil's advocate, honestly, because to the people that say, well, oh, unrestricted free speech, this is, you know, no good, because what if, you know, there's extremists or this or that? Honestly, my humble opinion, a lot of people like to hear it, so I'll say it. There's extremists everywhere you go. Now, that doesn't mean that we should dismiss them or say, oh, let's just, they're fine the way they are. But where does, and I'm genuinely asking this to your audience and you guys, where does one draw the line? Are we going to start blocking phone calls now? Because if they're, you know, if there's, you know, there's speculation of censorship of not just social media, but potentially text messages. And okay, fine. Big picture, I think they've been monitoring our texts for God knows how long, but monitoring and censoring are two different things, in my opinion. Now, I am not for either. Let me be clear. But my point simply is, where do we draw the line? If they're going to start censoring texts, if they're going to say, oh, you know, we can choose who or cannot be on Instagram or Twitter or these big platforms, who has the say to be the moral and ethical arbiter of all of that? And then what do we do? Like start cutting off cell phone, you know, home phone lines, because all extremists can call each other. So at that point, we might as well throw us in jail. At that point, like, this is the
remember
thing.
When you got to decide how you felt about something, and that was totally fine when the media
is okay, and you just carried on with your day.
But I know what's right and wrong, and that's my opinion, but people can't do that shit anymore.
This, I couldn't agree more. This speaks to the concept of controlling both ends of the stick. You create the problem, you create the solution. Yes, you do control the way that it happens, but at the same time, if exposed in the midst or near the end or even after, relatively shortly after that particular operation or whatever it was, in whatever category of life it was conducted in, people then start saying, hold on, how can you be for the thing you're saying you're against? You see what I'm saying? You can't have it both ways. So this whole thing of like, you know, there's certain things in politics right now, for example, like, I'm not going to get into that, but the whole concept of, like, when Kamala Harris said, what was it about, Not recently, not Roe v. Wade, I won't bring that up, but last year, something about my body, my choice pertaining to a particular state in the U.S., something like this. Now, it's not for me to say, you know, if abortion should...
Texas.
Right. Texas. Thank you. It was that. Yeah. It's not for me to say if abortion should or should not be legal, but in my humble opinion, you cannot have the vice president of any country, let alone the United States, saying everyone's got to get the beep boop, but then heading to Texas and going, my body, my choice. Like, right. I maybe I'm missing something, but well,
we're in agreement there.
So you were playing devil's advocate, right? And right. I guess how I would answer that is, I mean, even as recent, I mean, the CIA has said this, you know, we'll know our disinformation campaign is complete
when the American people believe everything. Yeah, Bill Colby.
Yep. They don't know what to believe. But yep. Obama said that like a couple of weeks ago at some, you know, high dollar speech he was giving. You know, he's like, all you got to do is throw enough sewage in the public discourse and, you know, all this shit. And I think they just want us confused, divided, you know, angry. I think that's the end goal, because then if you're emotional, you're controllable.
I couldn't agree more. And also your intent, your internal compass, if you will, whether from a nuts and bolts or a spiritual perspective or both, it's all over the place. You got advertisements, you got work to think, you got bills to pay, you got all these things. You can't hone in and focus and say, where am I right now? You know, all that kind of stuff.
That's
now,
hard. It's hard.
Right. To speak of the whole thing, create the problem, then the solution. And, you know, ironically or unironically, you can't be for the thing you claim to be against or vice versa. I'll give you an example. On an upcoming episode on a Patreon, I'm going to be covering the alleged, you know, WikiLeaks showed the Hillary Clinton emails that seem to quite clearly and transparently show that the United States took Gaddafi out in Libya because Gaddafi was A, going to get off the petrodollar, obviously, you can't, God forbid, you can't have that, and B, he was going to establish something called the United States of Africa, a potential, with respects to minerals and energy and all of this, a real rival to the U.S.
Like an EU-type scenario.
Right. You can't, and I'm saying this with respects to those at the top in America, not the American people, you cannot be for democracy and freedom while conducting a coup against the guy that wants to try and make his country more free, arguably. You know what I'm saying? So again, that's that whole thing of you're clashing. Now, I'm not trying to defend Gaddafi. I'm just saying it's that tit for tat, you know, situation there. It's kind of like Saddam Hussein. Apparently Putin had argued to George Bush privately that yes, he wasn't a good guy, but look, let's face it. He held the country together with thumbtacks and glue and glue. So like, and I'm not, again, not advocating at all, but if we're picking the lesser of two evils here, and until we create a system or apparatus where genuinely people are not voted in by the people, then brought into the club of the elites, you know, right, and then only come back to their hometown when they need re-election, then we can talk. But until then, I mean, it's tough, man. That's the thing. It's tough.
Yeah. It's, and I, at the end of the day, the only answer I can come up with, besides, you know, these people are psychopathic or whatever it is, that they just want us to be confused. It's that whole, you know, 1984 doublespeak. Like, that's what it goes back to. Like, you know, we've always been at war. Or we were never at war. Or you need to be both
very feeling very safe because you're with the strongest empire in the world. And I'm just talking generally, but at the same time, you got to be shitting your pants simultaneously. It needs to be both. It needs to be both. And again, think of Dr. Malone, what you guys will respectfully. He said something near the end of Joe Rogan I agree with. Whether he's controlled op or not, that's for a different conversation. But he goes, everyone's on their phones. And I agree with him on this contextually. Everyone's on their phones. They, all this downloading of information, no one knows what to do with it. They don't know how to handle it. You know, all this kind of stuff. We're more connected than ever, but also more apart than ever. It's like you said, Kyle, it's almost as if it's been deliberate to make everyone confused and to, what's going on. And no, this is where we have to focus. And then this and this, it's, I mean, if one doesn't notice, it becomes real easy to create the divide and conquer strategy.
That's what I was saying. They're making it easy on themselves. I mean, it's to demonize people like us or to make us seem like we're crazy for pointing this shit out works into their plan as well, because they're saying, no, these people are crazy. This isn't on purpose that this is happening.
Well,
this is
just happens. You know what? Let's go back very quickly to that example, the New York Times, where I'm a small outlet and Kyle's the New York Times. Say, for example, that whole thing there is, if you guys, again, going with the metaphorical headline of, you know, Jen and Joe are not truthful, or the yada yada, just make something up. Let's Fair just enough. Say, right.
Joe's my dad. Right. I'm his
lover. Let's say, for example, you guys as Jennifer and Joe have to think carefully about if you even want to make a public response to the article, because just by giving a response, regardless of what the response is, you're now adding fuel to the fire. So then all I got to do is go, look, they responded. It must be true. It doesn't matter what they said. The fact that they even responded, right, took the action to respond. And so it's easy.
But if they don't respond,
we would never respond in a million years. We would be right.
But then here's the thing too, and I'm not trying to say you guys are wrong, I'm right or whatever. One could then
we're mostly wrong, just to be fair.
No, I'm saying, well, this is what I mean by dual use, or even more, a dual use weapon, tool, apparatus, whatever you want to call it, or paradigm. Because then I could say, hey Kyle, here's you're the head of the New York Times. Here's $100K in cash at your house, nothing on paper. Go tomorrow and tell the editors and editor in chief and stuff, Joe and Jen didn't respond. How come they didn't? You see, it can be played both ways. But then now, to be fair, to counter to what I'm saying, say you guys respond, you can then say, no, we can tell the public we responded because we know we didn't do anything. So that's dare I say, in intelligence versus counterintelligence. That's that tit for tat. Now,
about stepping outside of the game, though, too, where you have to step outside of all of it. I don't mean to cut you off again. I'm so sorry.
No.
Getting outside of all of that media coverage, being in that limelight where people are just trying to. Okay. Joe's peeing. But there's something about all of this media coverage. People are so easily controlled. And when you just choose to say, you know what, I just don't care. And I don't care what you think about me. It's very freeing. And people don't want to do that. Sometimes people get very scared. They're like, this is my only life. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And they just want to be looked at in the best view ever. But you don't have to. You could choose to just not care. And that's okay, too. I don't know. That's just
you
what
are,
I think.
Jen, you are getting exactly to what I wanted to come full circle to. If you don't care, and you, this could be a bad thing, but in this case, in a good way, you live within your own, dare I say, reality bubble. It kind of helps alleviate a lot of potential stress from a situation like that.
Yeah. And stress can kill you. And Jen, you're right. Think about, playing devil's advocate here. If you just don't care, look at a Joe Rogan type figure, I think he maybe cared a little bit when he apologized for the N-word video, but for the most part, he doesn't care. And that gets the other side, the people who hate him, even more riled up. You know what I mean? And makes people
like that he doesn't respond.
Yeah.
But exactly. If he doesn't care, then it's fine. It just doesn't matter.
This is where it gets
in himself.
The people on both sides get so riled up. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. This is when it becomes right. And this is why, honestly, I think I fully agree. It's not the way that we gave that example of in every situation. It's very circumstantial. You have some cases, like, for example, let me see here. Can I talk about the beep boop, or are you guys on YouTube? Because I don't want to.
You can actually say COVID.
We're a rock fan. You're totally fine.
You can say vaccine. Okay.
This is just a metaphor. This is a mixing real world, allegedly what happened. And I can't even say because I wasn't there, but the concept of bringing yourself down before anybody else does, because if you do that, you control the way that it happens. So to your point, Jennifer, if you don't care exactly now, at the same time, it's kind of like if you have so much heat on you, like Pfizer's had for the last 2 to 3 years, if you guys remember that those 1 million vials with the mysterious black substance in them that when it appeared in Japan last year, again, this is not, I'm saying, oh, well, yeah, because there's so much. Yeah, there's so much stories coming out. I don't blame you, man. Again, this is just an example, not saying this is what occurred. If I am the CEO of Pfizer and I am getting, in a PR sense, shitted on like crazy, what am I going to do? I'm going to do something like that because I've now created the story that everyone's hating me on. I can control the extent to which it hits, and say Pfizer has a real screw up that really occurs. It's arguably not going to matter as much because the big story already came out. So I brought myself down before anybody else could even try and, before a total fluke or if someone tried to come at me.
It's like shooting yourself in the foot to get out of a combat zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then say that you weren't the one that shot yourself, if asked. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like somebody smells your fart, but you claim it first so that that way the heat's off, right? You're like, no, it was me. I totally farted. It's cool.
It's like when you like have to be okay with yourself, though.
Yeah,
there is something internally you have to be okay with doing.
Or you have to be really fucked up.
There's a saying,
and I don't know if I like this, but there's a saying that from this philosopher, I forgot his name. He goes, there's only two ways in this world, in his opinion, to truly be happy in life, either to have a clear conscience or to have none.
Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah. And that's why I don't know if I like it, because I'd like to think there's a middle ground, if you will, but yeah. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you know, certain things come up in life that are like, shit, it's out of your hands, but you feel terrible. But at the same, yeah. So
I would go with clear conscience just because it's something's going to happen at some point.
But
like
life is work, though. It's
work. It's all work.
It takes mental work. And we are trained in this generation to.
Wait, my generation or your generation?
Ours.
All of our the generation we're living in right now, the world we're in right now, that we are all experiencing. Okay, yeah. Where Joe's your dad. He had you when he was 10. It was incredible.
He's got
very virile.
Well, we're not trained to do that mental work where we have to think about things. We're trained to know or just to be told what we should think. There's no clear conscience or no conscience. We're just told what our conscience should be. Okay, well, how should I feel about this? We don't even get to decide. And I'm not saying that for us here right now or even anyone listening.
Who's to say you even need to have a conclusion about it?
Right.
Yeah.
You can make your own decision, and that's fine too. You don't have to do what the media says. But now there's with everything with social media is how many people like it, how many don't like it. How many people don't like what you're saying? How many people are angry? And so then you question your own thoughts, like, oh, well, all of these people don't agree with me, so maybe my own thoughts are wrong, when you could be completely right the whole time. But all of these people who maybe aren't right, who knows?
Well, kind of what you're saying, though, there's no clear conscience anymore, because the people that think they have a clear conscience, these social justice warriors and, you know, the woke crowd, they think 100%, most of them, that they have a clear conscience on what they're doing. They believe what they're doing is right and righteous, but they've just been tricked, in my opinion, of course, they've been tricked into thinking that they have a clear conscience about it, when really they have none. They're just numb.
I'll be honest with you. In my personal opinion, I agree with you. And I'll give an example here. And this is not to say that you cannot criticize other parties and their perspectives politically. And I'm just using this as a example, because it's pretty simple. Rogan brought this up a little while ago as well, I believe. And I see what he's saying. Like I wrestle with this as well. This doesn't mean I have the answer. The concept of progressives, you know, specifically within North America, it's kind of like what we just said about being consistent with one's quote unquote outrage or views. You can't, in my opinion, you can't be a full on, you know, lefty progressive and all of this, and being against, you know, child slavery around the world and all that while you're tweeting from an iPhone. Who made the iPhone? It was unfortunately, but truthfully, as I understand it, unless I'm wrong, it was a child slave in China. So if you really want to be for the thing that or support the thing you want to live, if you will, that, you know what I mean? If you can't handle the heat,
exploited workers, not just children, you know,
right now, sure.
Know, workers world unite. Well, you know, the workers on the other side of the world are, you know, making all the shit that you're tweeting that tweet from.
Right. Let me be clear. I'm not innocent whatsoever. I'm guilty of a lot of things. But if we're going to call a spade a spade here. Right. If we're going to call a spade, it's that same idea. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, it's like if someone says, OK, I take some views from the progressive angle, some from, you know, the conservative angle, some from the liberal and all of that, and we can work together to all meet each other halfway, I think that's a much better start. Then, you know, not saying that's the answer, but I think it's a better start. I mean, I don't know. This is the thing, right? When you have all this concept of globalism, if you will.
Well, you make a good point. And, you know, it's, you know, progressives in the sense of the word means progress, right? Progress towards something. If you ask most progressives, they won't tell you what that something is. But it's interesting because, you know, we've made progress for let's just say, marginalized communities, you know, we've made progress in that way in the last 50 years, right? But in the last 2 years, we've actually reverted back to 1940s when, you know, people were, you know, getting badges to identify what kind of, you know, class citizen they were, you know, and, you know, show me your papers, please. So it's like we're progressing on some fronts, but really going backward on a lot of other fronts. I mean, there's some I literally cannot travel to in this country as a free citizen because I don't have the vaccine. I'm trying to go on my honeymoon right now. It's like, well, we can't.
Are you in the States, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm in Texas.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, Canada designed it. We still, you still got to be fully vaccinated to travel even domestically. Don't get me started on the logic on that, because I was traveling domestically like a madman last year and the year prior when apparently COVID was at its worst. So, I mean, again, it's no disrespect to those that have certain perspectives on COVID, but no, I couldn't agree more. It becomes like one of those things where it's like, how do you, where does one draw the line to the extent in which you say you're going to live the life that you claim to believe in, so to speak.
Like, what progress do you want to achieve? Because it's weird. And, you know, I'm not judging anybody in that sense, because, you know, like we said earlier, their intentions in their mind are true, you know.
Right. This speaks to a concept as well of flexible truths, if you will. Right. Is it true, like not just in the UFO subject and things like this, but is it what's true to me may not be true to you. Truths are it's just, again, science is showing again with the dual slit experiment, that reality is only as real as the individual observing it. So at that point, it speaks to, you know, the concept of consensus reality potentially and things like this. But no, exactly. It's like this the old saying, if you can't handle the heat, don't be in the kitchen. So no one's perfect. But at the same time, this is why I try to really stay neutral if I ever tweet about politics on Twitter or whatever, or comment about it, because if I'm not there, how do I know? The CNN reporter probably knows less than I do, because they're being fed what to say. I'm allowed to think about what's being, you know, so, but that's even presuming the story that's being reported is accurate. It's so, yeah,
exactly.
And you should be able to have a conversation with someone about a disagreement and come to a conclusion, even where you agree to disagree and walk away still being happy. I think that's the most satisfying thing. Maybe you both will learn something. Maybe you'll both learn something later. Maybe you'll think about it when you're in the shower and not really thinking about it. Like,
this is what I mean.
Did have a point, you know? Right.
And I'm not trying to get all like woo woo or whatever. I'm not trying to get all, you know,
cool. Oh, get woo woo, buddy. Let's do it.
Right. Like, let's like, you know, kumbaya, let's sit by the fire, all this kind of stuff. But the idea is that for me, at least, it's multi-angle to this. There's been the Anglo-Saxon influence from the derivation of the Latin language to limit our, you know, set of words that we can choose to speak to convey emotions, all this kind of stuff. But then it speaks to me, at least, to the larger picture of like, you can't, again, if you can't handle the heat, don't be in the kitchen. So if you're going to say something or what have you, try and be consistent with that. And if you're not, then one could consider potentially, what if disagreements are not disagreements? That's just the stigmatically, rhetorically named label of it. It's just a different perspective, and both are equally as true. It's
like you're talking about with the double slit experiment, that kind of proves that, quote, reality is subjective based on where you're standing.
Yeah, like, particles either are waves or not.
So two people can see the same thing, and they'll have a different view on it, a different story as to what happened. Well, so that proved their reality was different than the other
particles
person.
Particles are literally a wave when you're not looking at it. That's, you want me to say, weird and super cool.
Right. I'm going to say something super controversial, but I feel like I got to say it. So if we follow on the line of the dual slit experiment, and this is no disrespect to those in which were deceased from this, but 9/11, allegedly, depending on what part you were in the world, it happened for some and didn't for others. Because again, entropy in science and physics is defined as chaos within a particular vicinity. But what if it's not chaos? What if it's just an order we're not used to observing yet? Simply because we've been told for X amount of years, relative to how we measure time, oh, don't worry, like, you know, time is only linear, cause and effect. Well, again, for example, if the one person in New York saw the plane hit the towers, and then someone else that was in Africa at the time said, No, no planes hit the towers. I was watching the news. Nothing happened. They're both right. They both happened. And they're both wrong, too. That speaks to quantum physics, right? They're both right and wrong. So what you then have is the emergence of the two. And that's what, to Jen, what you said. That's another slice of that pizza speaking to truth. That's another angle of it, if you will. So,
yeah.
And that's part of what we're doing where, so those two people who saw the right and wrong thing at the same time getting a conversation about that and maybe come to some conclusions. That's what we try to do in this community where we don't judge people for what they say. We listen and we don't know, but we're not like, you're fucking wrong. We don't agree with you because we've never heard. Like, no, we listen because we don't know. And maybe we're on the other side of the world in whatever experience that they've had, you know, mentally, I guess. But
all I know is most of the things that I think and say are wrong. So then I look at the other side and I'm like, well, they're wrong too.
That's where you're cutting yourself down in advance so that you're okay. You should be in the media, babe.
I know. I would be great. I don't know why
they
hired me yet.
You run the Joe, they wouldn't be able to control you. That would be the problem.
That would be the problem. That's why I said I can't join the military because I would be laughing my ass off the second
day
I got there.
That's why you didn't get on MasterChef. So I did. Yeah. I've told this so many times, but I tried to get him on MasterChef because he is an amazing cook. He does crazy shit.
Not
in
a
the
reality
kitchen.
Show chef, though.
No.
So real
he's,
food.
So he's not reality star material. So we made a whole video of him cooking and didn't make it. And then we watched a couple seasons of MasterChef and we're like, oh, yeah, you'd never even get on because he wouldn't cry or get emotional during anything. If Ramsay was like, "It's raw," he'd be like, "Huh,
that is fucking raw.
Cool,
you're
eat
right,
them, bitch."
Yeah,
like
fuck off, you English fuck. Care.
I would make myself cry as a trained actor. I would do it just for the opportunity. You know what I mean?
Joe would never
know recipes. You just, you know, earpiece, give me the recipes. And I'll be like, my dad used to make this in the kitchen. My dad, Joe, I really miss him a lot. You know, the family recipe. And then, you know, Ramsay would be like, it's complete shit. Your dad's a failure. Go fuck yourself. And I would cry, but I would do it for you, Joe.
I would cry too, though, because I know I was your dad.
If you want to make a trip up here, we should make a video for you to get. You have to do a whole video, like montage thing for MasterChef.
Oh,
and then you're gone for 6 to 8 weeks. You have to make a whole commitment. We signed all the paperwork and they were like, nope. Because
I would probably lose my job actually if I went on it.
I know. I told you that I was like, I'll support you. I'll DoorDash for everything. I don't care.
Imagine you do that. But like y'all were saying, like you're a news anchor or even like someone who, you know, a street correspondent or something like that. As soon as you get to that level, like you're always on the clock. You know what I mean? Something happens, whatever. And you're just completely, I bet you have, you know, did you sign an NDA for MasterChef? Like, if you accept this, everything's an NDA nowadays. Like, you can't talk about it. You can't do anything. And, you know.
Even news reporter friend who literally quit the business because she was like, they're not reporting on what they should be reporting on.
Right.
She went rogue and doing her own thing now because she was like.
I found an interesting thing between the alleged doctors in or surgeons in these deep underground military bases and reporters within the mainstream media. And what that is, again, allegedly, the amount of doctors that are recruited for underground experiments and extraterrestrials and this whole thing is, it's not so much how good the doctor is at their skill or their profession. It's how good they are keeping a secret relative to their NDAs. I see the same thing within media. It's not, you know, Chris Cuomo wasn't, when he was at CNN, he wasn't getting, you know, whatever, 5, 10, 15 mil a year for being a good reporter. You know, that's a different conversation. Point is, he knew how to say yes, boss. And he had the right connections from when he was younger, right? So, same idea.
Just the fact that we know that, though, is so gross.
But here's the thing. You know, we as a society.
I said, you pointed out, you look like a crazy person for some reason.
It doesn't matter. I don't care at this point. If someone else wants to watch some crazy shit, I won't judge them. I still love them. I will have multiple conversations with them.
The nature of the game.
It's just, okay, let's just talk about literally anything else. Not us, but
right.
Those people, I don't care. I can have conversations with people who are fully vaccinated. My whole family is fully vaccinated and like super on board with it. And I love them still. They're my family.
I agree.
I don't want the vaccine to be bad. When people are like, when 5G comes out, everyone's going to die. No, I don't want it to happen. That sounds awful.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. And this is something that, again, this might get, because we're on Rockfin. If this was YouTube, I don't think I'd be able to say this. But a family member of mine called me up the other day and said to me, hey, Dave, you want to hear something? And this is not representative of my personal views, but I do see the point that this my cousin was trying to make. He goes, I was at a coffee shop and there were some people there with masks, some with no masks, whatever, right? And this is the thing, to your point, Jen, if people want to wear it, sure, but don't enforce it on me if I don't want to, and vice versa, right? Now, what you had were a handful of individuals getting together at that coffee shop talking about, oh, did you get the jab? Did you this or that? Did you get jabbed? And then eventually they were talking about it so much, I think it agitated my cousin. And my cousin then said, when asked, are you vaccinated? And if you are, which jab did you get? Like, which company did it come from? My cousin then said to these group of gentlemen, do you guys have AIDS? And they go, what? He goes, do you have AIDS? They go, that's a very personal question. Why would you ask that? He goes, it's the same thing. It's my, if I got the jab or not, it's personal. You know, it's
and the if same they idea. Had the jab, they probably do now have AIDS. You know, since they got the jab, they probably...
The media made it okay to ask that, though. So that was something that was so...
They made it okay to ask it, right? And yeah, yep.
It was like
they talked about it so much. Where if you don't have it, and they did demonize it, if you don't have it, or if you do have it, which one did you get?
They were even demonizing lower brand. You know, Pfizer was like the best at marketing, and they were really good at it. And so, like, you know, if you got the Moderna, you know, they'd be like they do it through TikTok and stuff too. Like, you know, they have TikToks of kind of representing that conversation that your cousin was in. Like, you know, I got the Pfizer, I'm badass. And I got the Moderna, I'm kind of, you know, like a basic bitch. And then like you got the Johnson & Johnson. It's like, oh, you're probably like a trailer park kid or something. You know what I mean? Like,
well, okay. I mean, if you want to get me started on that, three things. The White House reached out to TikTokers. That tells me a lot personally. Yeah. And the fact that they had to give a warning against, they basically did everything they could during Christmas time, the White House, just short of putting a banner in low Earth orbit over top the planet saying, don't listen to Joe Rogan because of the Malone. Now think of Malone, what you will, if he was controlled op or not, but it's the same idea, right? So there's that. And then there's the whole thing of like, I got a brain fart. Where were we? Sorry.
Oh, which vaccine did you get?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry. Now, in Canada, what you have is you had Trudeau when he was running for his snap reelection, him saying, and Bill Maher brought it up too. I appreciate Bill Maher for saying this when he goes, like, nothing was taken out of context. In an interview with a Quebec French outlet, he says literally word for word what Hitler said about the, I think, the Jewish people is what Trudeau said about the unvaccinated. What are these people doing? They're taking up space. They're the reason we can't get back to normal. Literally, he said that. So, and at that point, like, the point is that, as I understand it, at least in Canada, the Liberal government had to partner with the NDP, which stands for the New Democratic Party, because the Liberal government knew they were not just going to lose the next election, but get a minority big time. So by joining with the NDP and making a deal, they now secure the next, I think, 4 years or something like this. And so what you then have is like, and one last thing is that for the, I think it was, I'm so glad I could say this on here because we're on Rockfin. Thank you guys for jumping to Rockfin. But I think it was AstraZeneca. Was it AstraZeneca? Yeah. Or AstraZeneca, anyways.
There was the deadly one.
It was okay.
That was the one that got banned here, right?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That was okay. AstraZeneca was the one that got banned in your guys' country first, if I'm not mistaken. And then Biden sent over 1 or 2 million doses of AstraZeneca to us. Again, I stand by the thing of America coughs, Canada sneezes. Whatever you guys do, we follow. Or if whatever you guys don't want, we take. And truth be told, it's a power thing. And it's
the redheaded stepchildren of America.
You want our liberal voters? I'm just glad to see you're alive. Every time I talk to you, I'm just glad to see you're alive.
I'm in the middle of nowhere. That's the only reason. I'm not near a city. I'm not near anything. That's the only, I'm close to the Dakotas. So if I have to, I will.
Hey, you know, you're welcome in Texas anytime, man. I'll set you up. I'm like the Joe Rogan poor podcasters. I won't buy you a house, but I'll on Zillow and I'll look for one for you.
I appreciate it, man. I'll put you
on your mattress.
Thank you. Perfect. I'll blow it up and everything. I can take care of it. Just I just need the
it blows itself up. That's how cool it is.
Giggity.
Oh, that's so giggity. Cool. That's
hang on.
Giggity, giggity.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that's great. I love that. But the AstraZeneca, I remember people in my family, people in what bothers me is that it's not that people in my I don't care if people in my family or even my friends got jabbed. It's just please respectfully don't enforce it on over me. And so the idea was what happened was that AstraZeneca in 2021, when last year when the vaccine rollout was deployed worldwide, I was, you know, all over the place. Dave, get AstraZeneca. It's fine. It's fine. All of a sudden, 6 months later, not only is it canned from the Canadian government list as a non-valid jab, but if you had gotten the jab, you then have to get re-jabbed. I'm not kidding, because they won't accept it anymore. And AstraZeneca, as I understand it, is showing rare side effects in myocarditis in males 18 to 25. I just turned 24. Rare. I'm right in the smack center of that. If I had taken it, what if I had, you know, again, going for my runs or whatever, I just dropped. I'm not saying that I would have, but like, that's the thing. And now if I had gotten it, all of a sudden the Trudeau government says, no, you got to get another a different type. So I just got two jabs of this thing that they banned. And on top of that, you have, again, think of him what you will, but you have, at least on paper, one of the main contributing inventors of mRNA saying all these things about getting more jabs, this is not good. Mm-hmm. When he said on Rogan, he's like, all these things of everyone, just get another jab. And what's Kamala Harris on, her fifth jab, fourth jab? What's and I'm not trying to say it in a bad way. What are the people?
I don't know if that's real.
That's what I'm saying.
Years, 2 years ago when we all, you know, our community was talking about this, we said, what's the number? Six? You know, what's going to be your number that you're going to take?
And, forever.
And I don't mean to disrespect the people of Israel, but I mean, what are they going to, if they keep going at the rate that they're at, what are they going to go to? Nine jabs until, you know, like what's fully, right. What's fully vaccinated at this
point? And Dave, to your point about the AstraZeneca and, you know, you'd have to get, you know, another one. I think really, because you can look at it from, a maleficent or whatnot, a bad way or a positive, you know. Sorry, I'm trying to get my words right.
No, sorry, it's not about just getting another one. What's going on in my body?
Well, I think it goes back to marketing, right? Like Pfizer had the biggest marketing campaign. And so, and after they banned AstraZeneca, what did Canada do? What did Trudeau do? He bought Pfizer vaccines for the next, 5 years or whatever. So I think it all, in terms of that, we have to think of, money, where who's putting the most money into the news and the governments and, these programs and I think it goes back to the. That's why it was banned here. That's why, Johnson & Johnson was, they couldn't afford the marketing campaign that Pfizer had. And so I think that's why it got pushed to the side. That's why, the only reason Moderna has it is because it was a Bill Gates / U.S. government,
sorry to interrupt you, but this whole thing of like, again, to add to what you're saying, like the fact checking of it all. I mean, whether it's Snopes or Associated Press or Reuters or whatever, this whole thing of, okay, Dr. Malone had said that he had connections and it is, as I understand it, it's true. He has a lot of friends in the intelligence world and all that, but he had implied that the Trudeau family personally has shares in Acuitas, which is, I believe, the company that had to do with the part invention of mRNA, something like this with the mRNA tech and all that, right? And fact checkers, Trusted News Initiative, Reuters, Associated Press, Snopes, all getting there, all under the web of the Trilateral Commission, by the way. No fluke there. But they all say, fact checkers state that the Trudeau Foundation or the Trudeau family and the Trudeau Foundation do not own shares in Acuitas. Literally, I could say because we're on Rockfin, thank you again, guys. They do, but obviously they're not going to own it directly. They're going to have, under different names, subsidiaries, dummy companies, offshore things, overseas, things like this. Now, two prongs to that. To the people that are not in the world of finance or economics or who don't do the research on their own, people are like, this is, they just got home from a long day at work. Honey, I don't want to think about that. I don't blame them, right? But the second thing, too, is that when you look at the way they fact checked it, they went on the Canadian, directory of something showing about, all the... something to do about affairs and commissions database or something like that. And the fact checkers typed in Trudeau Acuitas and found nothing. So according to fact checkers, there's nothing. Idiots. It's like saying that it's like saying John Gotti on paper, he was dead broke, but I mean, come on. You don't think it's the same thing. What do you think? He's just wearing those fancy suits because his wife puts them on and gets them donated to them. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Like, what are we doing here at this point, in my opinion? Right. So that's how I see it. Now, in theory, this is how they play with the words. Are they wrong? Not exactly, but it's obfuscation, right? It's like the ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, the department from the Pentagon that Lou Elizondo headed in all this, at least allegedly. That's a whole other conversation, but one could argue that was an attempt. Anyways, I personally think that he headed it, but the point is that there is an ongoing department, not under ATIP, it's under a different name. So the Pentagon said last year, ATIP no longer exists and it's been shut down. So everyone immediately thinks, oh, the UFO programs are gone, or at least the surface stuff is gone and the secret stuff is continuing. Yes and no. The Pentagon press office, they didn't exactly lie when they said ATIP is shut down. It is shut down, but it's under a new name.
Yeah, so, transformed to just the tip. That's what they call that's, it.
Well, that's the that's
how
the
would that ever word. Be a good thing? It's shut down now. I guess UFOs aren't a problem now.
Just
but
the fact they say
be,
it's shut no, down now on. Is like it's fucking well, it, definitely not. They,
it, was, you, it was a disaster of a press thing, in my opinion. I'm of the humble opinion that he did head ATIP, and at this point, I mean, you look at some of the stuff that, in my opinion, not to get into this, but it's just short of getting a camera feed of the guy walking in and out of the office, in my opinion. Like, I mean, at that point, it's like saying, you know, does Dave really run Generation Z? Well, we don't know. Do we see Dave in the house where he does his editing, where he does his recording? How do we not know someone else does it? And I'm the face of it, right? If you want to start shit like that, fuck.
Well, I'm going to start some shit like that, Dave. I think we need to get to the bottom of this. It seems to be a real issue here in the community, you know.
then usually what happens is you'll start a show and then you'll invite me on and it's the same. that's usually how it'll go. Is Dave really running the whatever show? And then that's how it starts. That's how the
that goes is. Back to where people shouldn't care so much about that stuff, though. I enjoy listening to your show. I love it so much. But well, if someone said Dave Zed doesn't really run this show, I'd be like, okay, cool. It's my still thing super is enjoyable, and I'll still
gonna listen.
I'll still live my life the way I live it. Be a good person.
I appreciate that. And my thing is, whether it's with Mr. Elizondo and ATIP, whether it's in general, I mean, it's like. At this point, I mean, if we're going to use, let's just say that example, use that for an example. Let's say he's lying. It's only going to look terrible on him in the long run because there are people in the Pentagon and in the intelligence community that have sadly a hard on for the guy that want to see him mess up. So if he's lying, eventually it'll come out. Just like with me, if I'm ever BSing about something, eventually it's going to come out. So at this point, like, is it affecting your life immediately right now? No. I mean, is it going to affect or change what's coming with respects to the UAP phenomenon if Mr. Elizondo really did run the department or not? That's not going to make or break, you know, at least, you know what I'm saying? So at that point, not to dismiss him entirely or anything like this of said claims or inquiries, but it's like, at what point, you know, it's at what point do you question? It's like the football game that someone's watching. How do you know it's real? Well, it's on the TV. Okay.
Right.
On the TV, but where, how do you know that what's happening on the TV is live?
Why do you care about the football game? I guess.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going real big, there you go. It's like politics, flipping a coin, right? It's like politics. It's like flipping a coin, heads or tails, conservative, liberal. People don't realize it's still both sides of the same coin. It's the same damn coin. Exactly. To your point,
way more money.
They
want
to get us down so low to where we care about sports teams. They're like, oh my God, I love the Cowboys. They're so great. Like, no, shut the fuck up.
Right. This speaks to the concept of using potentially technology to, and I'm just exploring ideas here, through entropy. For to go back to that 9/11 example, did the buildings really hit the towers or not? To some on the planet at the time it did, to others it didn't, and both are right and both are wrong. That argument in and of itself distracts and spirals using intention, distracts in downwards into another set of arguments, and it just keeps going down the vortex. The next thing you know, you're arguing about what? And hold on, what's going on around us?
Right. We were just talking about that with our friend Moral Bob. Shout out to the Hidden in Plain Sight podcast.
I think Bob is with me right now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No. Not real beef. Not real beef.
Okay, good. No. As long as it's fake beef. But no, he was going on the same thing. It was weighing heavy on him the other day. And he was like, dude, I think all these things we talk about are literally meant to just divert us away from whatever is actually going on. And that's a super deep conspiracy thing to say. But I don't disagree with him, where he's like, all these little like factions of people in the Tartaria and all these things are like these different little rabbit holes people go down. They call them a rabbit hole for a reason. And they're diverted down these holes and they're arguing about them. And then what does that serve us, though? Like you said, like, how does that help us? What is,
well, okay, let me give you an,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, please.
I was just going to say, I think we're all meant to live this life as souls, and then all of these distractions are to see how our soul behaves. So if we
Earth school, yeah.
If we behave a certain way, we might learn from it, we might not. I don't know. But every single distraction, all of everything that we dig deep into, it's just a distraction from being within ourselves. It sounds very woo and weird, but there's something to being within yourself and then being able to love everyone around you. Like, put your mask on before you help your friend. Not your mask, like what they told you to do. Funny. I mean the airplane one when the altitude's weird. All right. Right.
I did an episode about what you and Bob, you said you talked about. It was called Conspiracy Thirst Traps. What are these topics or these, you know, factions in these groups that we get into that, you know, kind of keep us corralled in one space, and rather than let us focus on the real, you know, things that we can prove, like, you know, human trafficking, you know, governments destroy, you know, so like we get focused on, and no, this is kind of maybe why Bob might have a beef with me. It's like, maybe instead of getting focused on flat earth, maybe all of us should collectively focus on, I don't know, like child trafficking. That's like a great example we can probably all agree on. So
yeah,
not that they're not valid, right? Because you can argue these things all day, and there's not that they're not important, but it's like, why were we all talking about Tartaria for 6 months in this community? What was that? What else was going on, right? So it's just, what are these things that kind of held up? Not that they're not important or valid, but what
he said that on his show, when we were on his show, he said something about being super into flat earth and that it was a distraction for him as well.
Yeah,
he pointed that out to himself. So I don't think he has a beef with you.
I know. It's just Bob. I love Bob.
Let me give you guys an example. So I was here. I got a notification on my laptop. I thought I had silenced everything for this interview. It turns out by accident I didn't. And what was it? A notification from Twitter. Elon Musk tweeted just about an hour and a half ago, "If I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you." Now, you see, that delves into the whole thing. Is he just messing with people? Is he being cryptic? But you see, we've already gone down that spiral train of thought. Instead of focusing on keep your eye on the ball on the human trafficking or whatever, it's all, what did Elon just say, right? It's the same. Right. Now, whether that was planned or not, you see how in real time this occurs. And then now you got people replying here going, oh, what is it that you have on the Clintons or on Hillary? You know, so it's
not right.
Right. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay. And then again, it starts like that. And another tactic I could say that helps with that, sadly, is, you know, especially on Twitter, when you could see, a friend of yours that you're following liked a post or a tweet on something on a feed that wouldn't normally be on your feed. That creates another, why'd they like it? You press on it, you go down that thread, you go down that spiral.
Well, they do it on people you follow.
What's the difference between that and your thoughts?
If you click on a porn star, you can see all your friends who follow the porn star.
And what's the difference between that and your thoughts? Honestly.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yep. Exactly.
More connected. You're like, they all feel that way. Cause we would never get together and be like, this is my favorite porn star. Cause that's weird. Right. But
you have trading cards for them or.
Yeah. That would be great. That'd be kind of fun.
Do they have that? They have porn star trading cards.
Let's do it.
Oh man. Guys, I'm so sorry. In the next few minutes, I'm probably gonna have to take off because I have another
End it there, buddy. Yeah, solid hour. So. I got kids and work and whatever else. Kyle has whatever awesome. He does.
I want to thank you guys so much for having me on again. And Kyle, brother, it was a pleasure meeting you, man. I got just like Jen and Joe, I gotta get you on the show as well. Actually, we should do something all of us in the coming days if you guys are available.
I'm sure available. Yes.
Sweet. Sweet. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. I know you're a busy dude. We super appreciate super busy. It.
Not for you guys, buddy. Sorry.
Tell everybody where they can find you and where they can get your show and everything, Generation Z.
Sure. Generation Z, Z-E-D, Generation Z podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, as well as Generation Z podcast, no caps, no spaces on Instagram, at Podcast Z on Twitter, and patreon.com/Generation Z. That's what keeps the show alive. And I think it's safe to say there's hundreds of hours of extra content on there by now. So
there is. I've watched like a percentage of all the shit you have on there.
It's great though. When you were saying that people and on Patreon were dropping off, why? There's so much you can pick and choose if you have a long drive or if you're bored one day.
Well, that's why they were dropping off, because they were like, we feel so overwhelmed. And I'm like, okay, I kind of I get it. Like I understand.
That's very kind of you. I don't understand, because there's some stuff I'm willing to be like, I won't get to that, but I would like to listen to this today. And there will always be something available for you on his channel. And if you can't get to it all, don't feel overwhelmed that you can't take it all in at once. It doesn't have to be all taken in at once. You can slowly get to it and pick and choose. That's okay too. It's okay to be a person, everyone. Okay.
Very well said, Jen. Seriously, thank you. I appreciate that. I think even myself, including, I think everyone needs to hear that. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's so caught up in who's right, who's wrong, you know, all this kind of stuff.
You have to get it all. You're like, I've heard all of the Generation Z's. No, you don't have to hear them all. Hear the ones you want to hear and love them. That's all you have to do.
Moderate moderation.
Support him because he's great.
Thank you so much, guys.
It's okay.
We love you, buddy. Kyle,
I appreciate it.
Give us your plugs, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
Yeah, Kyle, the Big Dumb Podcast on all podcast platforms, YouTube, all that stuff. The Big Dumb Podcast, and then the Big Dumb _ Podcast on Instagram. And Dave, it was a real pleasure, dude. I appreciate it. You're I'm only a year older than you, but I feel like you're probably 10 years smarter than I am.
No, man. I'm sure there are areas that you have far better honed than myself, man.
Well, I'd love to have you on anytime, and we can discuss it. But it was a real pleasure. And Joe Absolutely. And Jen, as always, you know, it's great to be your co-host.
Love you guys.
Thank you guys. Cheers. Cheers.
Thanks everybody in the chat. We will see you next time. Love you.